Welcome to the Ramswire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at CamDeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at The Ramswire. And as always, check out all our content at theramswire.usatoday.com. We've got a new episode today ahead of the divisional round matchup with the Dallas Cowboys. The Rams are hosting the Cowboys on Saturday night at 8:15 Eastern. That game is going to be on Fox. Obviously, huge implications with the winner moving on to the NFC Championship game against either the Eagles or the Saints. You got a potential matchup, potential rematch for the Rams with either of those teams in the next round if they do get past Dallas. So plenty of storylines to talk about heading into this game. It's the Rams' first divisional round game since 2004. They're looking for their first playoff win since that year, too. So there's a lot to talk about heading into this matchup. We're going to preview all that, talk about Matt LaFleur being hired by the Packers as their next head coach, update you on some injuries as far as Todd Gurley, LaMarcus Joyner, just minor things like that. And we got our latest projections from overthecap.com on the compensatory pick formula and what the Rams are expected to get in the 2019 draft from their free agents leaving this past offseason. So we'll get right into it. Obviously, the Rams are hosting the Cowboys. The only reason for that happening is Cody Parkey missing that field goal with 10 seconds left against the Eagles to send the Eagles to the divisional round and have Dallas go to Los Angeles to face the Cowboys or the Rams. Had Parkey made that field goal, the Bears likely would have been moving on. Barring a miracle by the Eagles, they would have gone to Los Angeles for the divisional round, faced the Rams for a second time this season, and who knows what would have happened, but that's not the point here. Now we have the Cowboys coming to Los Angeles. A lot of people view that as a more favorable matchup for the Rams. I'm not so sure that's exactly the case. The Cowboys got here not based on luck, but because they are a strong team with a good defense and arguably the league's best running game with Ezekiel Elliott, who led the NFL in rushing yards this season. So not necessarily an easy matchup by any means for the Rams. I would say it's probably a little more favorable than them facing the Bears, who they already lost to this season. But it's still by no means an automatic win or a gimme for them heading into the divisional round. But we do have a matchup of several of the best players at their positions heading into this game. You got DeMarcus Lawrence, Aaron Donald, Byron Jones is a top cornerback, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Donald. So there's absolutely no shortage of talent, and that's exactly why both of these teams are here. There's going to be talk about who the best running back in the league is with Gurley and Elliott. You got two young quarterbacks in Dak and Jared Goff. Obviously, Goff has had a little bit more success throwing the ball this year in the past 2 years, but Dak made the playoffs as a rookie and had a phenomenal first season. So he's no slouch himself. So we'll talk about all of those matchups and go into more detail, but right now, this is the ninth time that these two teams have met in the postseason. Previously, their all-time record is split 4-4. The Rams have won three of the last four, so they've had some success against the Cowboys. But obviously, that was way back when. All of those games took place from 1973 to 1985. So they haven't met this century. They haven't met in 33 years. So there's a long... This is a big gap between the last time these two teams met in the playoffs. But the all-time series, like I said, is 4-4. So this game is really going to come down to a couple of things. Obviously, it's never determined by just one factor or one play or anything like that. But in my mind, this game, whoever wins, it's going to come down to winning in the trenches and running the football. So the Cowboys are one of the best running teams in the league, and they were all season. Zeke led the league in rushing. That offensive line, when healthy, is one of the best in the league. They obviously don't have Travis Frederick. Zach Martin's been banged up a little bit. So it's not the same dominant unit that we saw a few years ago in Dallas, but even with Connor Williams struggling a little bit, Joe Looney has played well at center in place of Travis Frederick. It's still a good, strong offensive line, especially when it comes to the running game. So the Rams are really going to have to focus on stopping Zeke and shutting down that ground game, because if they don't, it's going to be the Cowboys are going to be able to control the clock. They're going to be able to win the time of possession battle. They're not going to have really any trouble keeping the Rams off the field if they convert on third down, if they run the ball successfully and really use the clock to their advantage. Because if they strike quickly on a few of these plays and they don't use the time much, they're going to give the ball right back to the Rams and give them a chance to move down the field and score touchdowns themselves. So a lot of this game is going to come down to maintaining possession and picking up first downs on crucial third down situations for the Cowboys. For the Rams, they really need to hone in on the ground game. They are truly one of the worst run defense teams in the league. They ranked last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed. It was 5.1, which shockingly is even worse than what they had last season when they didn't have Dominican Sue and they also had Alec Ogletree, who was one of the worst linebackers in the league. So somehow, some way, despite adding all the talent they did, despite having Aaron Donald up front, they still have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. And that's something that you know the Cowboys are going to try to take advantage of, whether that's with Elliott, whether that's with Dak Prescott running the ball and using his legs on the edge. Dallas is really going to try to take advantage of that weakness on the Rams front. And really, if the Rams don't step up and they continue to play the run the way that they have in the past, this past season and even last year, they're going to be in trouble. But for the Rams, it's going to, as long as they score, say, 30, 35 points, I find it really hard to believe that they're going to lose this game. The Cowboys don't have the firepower. They don't have that quick strike offense where they're going to come from behind and play catch up and match the Rams blow for blow and keep pace with them offensively. We saw one great game from the Cowboys offense against the Jaguars, which kind of came out of nowhere. And that one, Dak Prescott used his legs well, but that was kind of an anomaly. Typically, they're going to score between 20 and 28 points a game, which the Rams do plenty. That's not necessarily the challenge that the Rams are facing. It's whether they can get to that 30-point, 35-point threshold where it's going to be really difficult for the Cowboys to match them. As far as the defense goes for the Cowboys, they do have one of the better units in the league. They have a strong secondary with Byron Jones. Chido Awuzie has played okay. He's not someone who's going to really take the ball away. He doesn't get his head around and play well deep downfield. But the matchup that I'm really looking to is Brandon Cooks against Byron Jones on the left side of the field. That's typically where the Cowboys keep Byron. They've used him to shadow receivers a few times, but typically it's Cooks on the left side, Woods sometimes in the slot, and then you got Josh Reynolds on the other side. But the biggest matchup, I think, is Cooks against Jones. Byron has good speed at cornerback. Obviously, Cooks is one of the fastest players in the league, but Brandon Cooks has exceptional route running. He loves those deep over routes where he comes over the middle of the field, makes a catch, and gains valuable yardage after the catch. And he uses that speed in the open field to really make defenses pay and pick up valuable yards after making the catch. Byron Jones is good in man coverage. He's sticky. He loves to press at the line of scrimmage, which is difficult to do against Brandon Cooks, because if he beats the press and gets a good release, he's going by you down the field for possibly a touchdown. So that's the matchup that I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, Jared Goff loves throwing to Robert Woods, who might get covered in the slot by Anthony Brown. He might be moved outside against Awuzie. I'm not really sure exactly how the Rams are going to treat Woods in this one without, obviously, Cooper Kupp being out there. But Jared Goff likes throwing deep to Brandon Cooks. He's their biggest big play threat. He can take a 15-yard slant, 45 yards for a touchdown, 70 yards for a touchdown. So the Rams are going to have to try to take advantage of that matchup and try to win there, because you're not necessarily going to see Robert Woods or Josh Reynolds win consistently on the other side of the field and in the slot. So I really think Brandon Cooks has to have a good game in this one and win that battle with Byron Jones. Another key matchup that I'm looking forward to is where Aaron Donald lines up, whether he's going to see Zach Martin at right guard, whether Wade Phillips is going to keep him at right defensive tackle so he lines up against Connor Williams or Xavier Suofilo. If he plays either way, whichever left guard the Cowboys go with, it's a favorable matchup for Donald. I tweeted this week that I don't think I would move him from that right defensive tackle position all game long. I would throw Dominican Sue or Michael Brockers on Zach Martin, let them work on him. If they get a sack or they get some pressure, fine. But I would allow Donald to rush against Williams or Suofilo all game long. I don't really see much reason to move him off of that spot, because Williams has really struggled as a rookie this season. Suofilo is a little bit better, but he's banged up. So I think that's definitely a matchup the Rams have to take advantage of. You have arguably the best player in the NFL in Aaron Donald, and you have a matchup with one of, I wouldn't say one of the worst guards in the league, but Connor Williams has really struggled as a rookie, and he's going to need help from Tyron Smith and Joe Looney, and I would expect them to double-team Donald every single time, or pretty close to it, whenever he's rushing the passers. So that's a matchup that the Rams have to look at and really feel good about when it comes to Donald against Williams or Suofilo. On the offensive side for the Cowboys, they do have one really strong receiver in Amari Cooper. He came over, obviously, at that trade deadline deal with the Raiders, has really taken off with the Cowboys. He's looked really good in the Cowboys uniform, doesn't have the same drop issues that he had with Oakland. One of the best route runners there is in the NFL, quite frankly. And that's not something that any cornerback ever wants to hear when they're facing a receiver, but his route running is really, really good, and the Rams don't necessarily have a cornerback to match it. Aqib Talib typically plays left corner with Marcus Peters at right corner, and then you have Roby Coleman in the slot. I don't expect the Cowboys to put Amari Cooper in the slot much, just because Roby Coleman is their best cornerback, and that's not necessarily a favorable matchup for the Cowboys, but I think Cooper will probably be on the right side up against Talib for the most part. He could see some of Marcus Peters if the Rams want to test him with double moves and things like that, because Peters has struggled at times with deep routes and some of these double moves that opposing receivers run against him. So you could see Cooper lining up against him sometimes, but this is really going to come down to Aqib Talib doing what the Rams traded for him to do. They need him to lock down number one receivers. Marcus Peters is a ball hawk, of course, and he's going to make his plays, be it good or bad. But Talib has to be that steady cornerback who is going to take away that one side of the field and really play lockdown coverage against a guy like Amari Cooper, who he has experience against, having played in Denver, with Cooper being in the AFC West with the Raiders. So these two are familiar with each other. Hopefully that's a matchup that Talib can win. That's going to go a long way towards slowing down Dak Prescott, especially if Cole Beasley is still banged up in this one and isn't fully healthy. They're not really deep at wide receiver, the Cowboys, especially with Allen Hurns out for the rest of the year. You have Cole Beasley, who's injured. Their tight ends are really nothing to worry about. So it's really about Zeke and Amari Cooper being receivers or being runners in the case of Elliott. One way to also limit the production of Dak Prescott is to get pressure on him and sack him. Only one quarterback was sacked more than Dak this season. That was Deshaun Watson. Only one quarterback has been sacked more than Dak Prescott the past two seasons. That was Russell Wilson. So he's not prone to he's prone to being sacked, whether it's his fault or the offensive line's fault. He tends to be unaware in the pocket. So if Dante Fowler or Samson Ebukam can have strong performances and really come off the edge and complement Aaron Donald rushing from the interior, they can certainly get to Prescott 1, 2, 3 times in this one. And when he does get sacked, he has a frequency to cough the football up and fumble the ball away, which can obviously lead to turnovers. And if the Rams could take advantage of that, that'd be a huge boost too. So you do have a favorable matchup with Aaron Donald on the inside, but it would be nice to see Fowler and Ebukam win a few one-on-one matchups with Lyle Collins, with Tyron Smith. Those aren't the best matchups for either of those pass rushers, but getting that edge pressure is going to be huge against an elusive guy like Dak Prescott, who's difficult to get down. So if you can collapse the pocket on him, keep your contain on the outside, not let him escape the pocket to the outside, that's going to go a long way towards slowing down the Cowboys' offense and really making them one-dimensional with that running game. The next topic, I would say, is really not getting much attention, I don't think, but it's the presence of C.J. Anderson. He's obviously played really well in these last two games. He's averaging 7 yards a carry. I mean, it's difficult to keep a guy like that off of the field, but when you do have Todd Gurley, I mean, it makes it a difficult battle, because Gurley, while he may not be 100% healthy, he's one of the best running backs in the league, and that's not someone that you're going to take off the field for a veteran like C.J. Anderson, even playing as well as he is. You're not going to want to take Gurley off the field, just the way that he plays as a receiver. You don't want to take him off the field for someone like Anderson, who admittedly is a very good running back, and he's looked good the past 2 weeks. He's almost like a bowling ball going through the line, bouncing off these tacklers and breaking tackles. But I don't know that you can give him more than, say, 5 or 6 touches in this game. If you want to go with a run-heavy approach with Gurley and Anderson, fine. But with the way that the Rams offense has operated, it's been a little bit pass happy. They obviously do ride Todd Gurley plenty, but it's a pass first offense with Jared Goff in that aerial attack. And I don't know that you really want to change that much against this Cowboys defense. They're very good against the run. I don't know that you want to run the ball 30 times against this front. So with that being said, I don't know that you can really give Anderson many touches in this one. He's not as good of a receiver as Gurley. He doesn't hold up as well in pass protection as Gurley does. So I'm not really sure where you're going to get him touches and get him carries or receptions out of the backfield. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be very easy to get him the ball much in this game. That being said, if Todd Gurley needs a rest, Anderson is a great guy to have. If you want to give Gurley an entire series off, put Anderson in there, let him run the ball a few times, let him hold up in pass protection where he is good. He's just not as strong as Gurley, but he is definitely capable as a pass blocker. You can take advantage of that and give Gurley a rest and keep him fresh for the rest of the game if you need to do that early on. But I think this is going to be a game where Gurley gets plenty of touches. He's going to have the hot hand. And I think after giving him only, 13, 14 carries in that game against the Falcons last year in the playoffs, I think McVay is going to want to redeem himself, show that he can commit to the run, and use Gurley to his advantage, because he is such a talented player, both as a runner and a receiver. So I wouldn't expect Anderson to get too many touches in this one, but obviously he does have that playoff experience and that veteran attitude where he knows how to take advantage of these opportunities, and he knows that the stage is not too big for him. And speaking of playoff experience, the Rams quietly did add a bunch of that this offseason and during the season. Whether you look at the trades that they made, signing Ndamukong Suh, just about everyone that they added this season and dating back into the offseason has experience in the playoffs. Sam Shields, who they signed, he's had experience with the Packers. Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Dante Fowler made it with the Jaguars last year. Brandon Cooks obviously has a history with the Saints and the Patriots. Even Ramique Wilson, who played for the Chiefs, and then Dominican Sue made it with the Lions. So there is a lot of playoff experience that they added. Those guys have combined for a 20-19 record in the postseason, and being such a young roster that the Rams do have, it's important to have guys who know what it's like to play in the postseason, what it's like to have the bright lights of prime time on them in a playoff game. That's not necessarily something that you can measure, but it is something that's going to help those younger players in the locker room ahead of game time, ahead of kickoff, where they're going to be able to calm them down and show them that really this is just another game and you can't take it for more than what it is. You can't treat it like it's the Super Bowl. Obviously, you want to take it seriously, but you don't want to put any added pressure on yourself just because it is a playoff game. And we saw the Rams do that last year against the Falcons. Farrell Cooper had a couple of fumbles. It was a sloppy game, and the Rams can't afford to have that happen again. Hopefully, they don't have that same bye week hangover like they had against the Falcons. But you do have to wonder if having this week off is going to hurt them, because going back to the preseason, they came out a little bit slow against the Raiders in week one. Going back to last year, when they took that week off, week 17 before the playoff game, they obviously didn't play well against the Falcons. And then this year, the bye week before that Lions game, they came out slow against the Lions on the road. Didn't necessarily look their sharpest. And even Jared Goff didn't look good for the next couple games after the bye. So you have to hope that there is no sort of bye week hangover for this team, and that it's kind of just an anomaly and something that's in the past, and it's not going to affect them this season with regards to that bye week. But really, this game is going to come down to getting a lead for the Rams. They have to force the Cowboys to throw the ball. If you can take a 14-point lead and kind of build on that throughout the game, the Cowboys aren't going to really feel that comfortable giving the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 25, 30 times in this one, because you're going to be playing catch-up. So it's going to be crucial for the Rams to try to jump out to a lead and force the Cowboys and Dak Prescott to throw the ball, which is obviously not their forte. They'd rather run the ball and wear down defenses and control the clock, but that's difficult to do when you're playing from behind. So moving on to another topic, which is unrelated to the Cowboys game against the Rams. Over the Cap did release their projections for the upcoming compensatory picks for the 2019 draft. This is a formula that nobody really knows. Coaches and executives, even Les Snead, have admitted that they don't know exactly how the NFL determines the compensatory pick formula. But if you're not familiar, essentially, it gives teams draft picks back after losing big-name free agents or even lesser-known free agents. So, say a team loses one of their best players and he signs a huge contract elsewhere, the team will be compensated for that, and they'll get as high as a third-round draft pick in the upcoming draft. So, for the Rams, they lost Trumaine Johnson and they lost Sammy Watkins, who both left in free agency to join. Watkins joined the Chiefs, and then obviously Johnson joined the Jets. Say that five times fast. So the Rams are projected to get two third-round compensatory picks for those two players, according to OverTheCap.com. That would be a huge boost because they did trade a third-rounder for Dante Fowler. Les Snead at the time said that the fact that the Rams expect to get two third-rounders for Watkins and Johnson, that did have an impact on whether they felt comfortable trading for Dante Fowler. So even though those picks will be at the end of the third round, they are tradable, so they can use them to move up, say, back into the second round possibly, or just up in the third round. So those are two good picks that are going to be nice to have, especially with the Dante Fowler trade. So that's kind of where they stand heading into the draft. They're also expected to get a seventh rounder for losing Cody Davis, who signed with the Jaguars. So that'll be one of the last picks in the draft. Not a huge impact there, obviously, but it is an extra draft pick that they wouldn't necessarily have had had they released a player or had Davis signed a smaller contract. And then another piece of news that broke this week: Matt LaFleur is headed to Green Bay. He was the Rams' offensive coordinator last season under Sean McVay. He didn't call plays. He was kind of McVay's assistant as far as the offense goes. The Rams replaced him with Shane Waldron and Aaron Kromer as kind of co-offensive coordinators. It's not really a huge position for the Rams because of the way that McVay operates, the way that he calls plays and really grabs hold of the offense. But good for him, good for LaFleur getting a head coaching gig with a team like the Packers. Now he's going to be able to work with Aaron Rodgers. He was with the Titans and didn't have a great year as far as the offense goes. Tennessee really wasn't successful on that side of the ball at all this season, aside from a few big games from Derrick Henry down the stretch. But that was LaFleur's first season calling plays in the NFL. So now he's getting an opportunity to be the head coach, kind of help Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career. Hopefully, he's hoping to win a Super Bowl, of course, in Green Bay. So McVay's coaching tree is already growing. You got Zach Taylor taking interviews. You have Shane Waldron taking interviews as well for head coaching gigs. So a lot of these teams are looking at Sean McVay and what the Rams have done, wanting to hire his proteges, really get one of those young, offensive-minded head coaches who are innovators rather than just recycling all of these coaches who have been in the NFL for X amount of years and really not done much. So again, good for Matt LaFleur getting that job. Hopefully the Rams don't really have to run into him in the postseason because he does know quite a bit about Los Angeles's offense and how things operate over there. So just good for him getting that job and best of luck to him. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. We'll talk to you guys next week after the Rams divisional round game against the Cowboys. As always, follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. You can follow me at Cam De Silva, and you can follow and check us out at theramswire.usatoday.com.